Normally on this night, I do not begin with a moment of humor, but one of our youth sent me a story that seemed amazingly appropriate for tonight. So I'd like to read the text that he sent to me. It goes like this. An alien vessel landed quietly in the Vatican City, and the hatch opened and two little gray men, they had incredible dazzling smiles, they got out of and started to look around. They were promptly given an audience with the Pope. After a brief discussion about the weather, because that's what everyone talks about, right? The weather. And, of course, no one does anything about it. But after a brief discussion with the Pope said, "I know this question might sound odd to you, but I was wondering if your kind knew about Christ Jesus." "Jesus Christ," exclaimed the taller of the two aliens. "Of course we do. He visits our planet every 2 or 3 years or so. He's an awesome fellow." A hush descended upon the chamber. Everyone watched the Pope, whose face had turned rather cold and rather oddly strange. "Every 2 years?" the Pope shouted. "We're still waiting for his second coming." The alien said, "Maybe he didn't like your chocolate." "Chocolate," the Pope said. "What in heaven's name does chocolate have to do with this?" To which the alien said, "Well, when he came to our planet, we gave him chocolate. Why? What did you do to him?" Okay, you get that? What did we do to him? As we entered the scripture, we entered on hallowed ground. We went into the upper room with Jesus, sat at table with him. We're going to share that moment here in a moment. We heard the drama that was unfolding, where Jesus took off his outer garment and began to wash the feet of those who had been following him for 3 years in anticipation and preparation for what was yet to come. This washing of the feet is part of what we're talking about tonight. You know, we all have feet. Some of them are dirty, like the disciples. Some of them have an odor about them, like I'm sure the disciples did after spending all day out and about. Some are calloused. Some follow Jesus. And they followed him through thick and thin, like many of us have done here. No matter what our feet have felt like, we followed Jesus. Interestingly enough, even the betrayer and his feet, they followed Jesus. Now, washing of feet throughout the history of Scripture that we have before us is a sign of welcome. It's a sign of acceptance of the person. After all, you're revealing a piece, something that most people wouldn't see, nor would they touch. I'll give you some signs of welcome and acceptance. When the angels came to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot washed their feet. When Joseph met his brothers in Egypt, you know what he had done? Their feet were washed. When Aaron and the priests had to go in to minister to the Lord, the first thing they had to do? Have their feet washed. When the woman who had grave, deep sins came and rested at the feet of Jesus, she washed his feet with her tears. Feet themselves are a sign of what carries you. Your feet can take you from place to place. Feet can carry you, sadly, to sin. In fact, Jeremiah said of the nation of Israel, "Their feet rush to sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood." That comes out of Isaiah 59:7. But Isaiah also acknowledged that our feet take us to places in which they're a blessing to others. In fact, in Isaiah 52, "How beautiful are the mountains and the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who share glad tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." Washing feet. In our modern day time, some have shared that as a sign of redemption, that we're washed of our sin. We now have a new purpose, a new responsibility in this world, that we are bearers of good news. And as Isaiah said, when we now share that moment of walking, we do carry good news announcing that our God reigns. Amazing thing that Peter, in the scripture I just read, didn't stop at feet. He also mentioned, wash every bit of me, including his hands. I always thought that was kind of interesting. Peter, you know, he's filled with hyperbole. It's an amazing thing about Peter. If you asked him to walk on water, guess what? He'd try it. He did. But then he got scared. And I feel like this is one of those uncomfortable moments. You know, you follow Jesus all your life. He's always been the master. You follow him those 3 years. He's been your master. He's been in charge. And all of a sudden, Jesus does what servants do. And sometimes, out of our fear, out of our confusion, I don't know about you, so sometimes I say things that, and the moment they're out of my mouth, they're incredibly stupid. And you sit there and go, why did I even open my mouth? I removed all doubt that I'm not very bright. And I think what Peter does here, he opened his mouth and he shoved his foot in. So now not only does he want Jesus to wash his hands and his feet, but now he's going to have to wash his mouth out because he's got foot and mouth disease. Interestingly enough, Peter's so uncomfortable. Why is Jesus doing this? Jesus shows what we read earlier. He is our suffering servant. He's going to take all the sin of the world and all of our sin. Mind you, sometimes the sin of the world doesn't feel like it's very big when you're carrying your own sin. But he's going to take all of our sin into him. First words on the cross, whenever that rushed in, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in a moment of humility before the cross, Jesus acknowledged what he's going to do, that he's going to take as a servant, as the suffering servant, all that we drag around all the time. So we don't have to drag it around. He's going to take the sin off of us into him so that our sin can be forgiven. The other piece that's happening here is that Jesus acknowledges what feet do. Feet carry you places. By the way, I got new shoes on. They're about 3 weeks old. First week, my feet didn't feel very good. They were really hurting, so I kept going back to my old shoes that looked like a truck had run over them. But the feet carry you places. If you're a ball player, hopefully they'll carry you to where the fly ball is or on to first base. Basketball playoffs are about ready to begin. They carry you up and down the court. Hockey has begun. Carries you on the ice. Feet can also take you to the home of someone who's hurting, to the home of someone you have a disagreement with. Feet can take you to the store to pick up something for someone who's deeply in pain. Problem is, feet can only take you there. Y'all know that. You need something else to complete the ministry. You need these. You need hands. Peter was smarter than what we give him credit for when he said, wash all of me. Feet can take you to a spot. It's the hands then that make the choice. Feet will take you to the computer. It's the hand that hits the honorable button and sends out a favorable Facebook post, or it's the hands that send out a really nasty gram and rip a person apart. It's the hands, when you get to a keyboard, that he can pull up pornography, which shames women, or can fight for just treatment of women. It's your hands that can go and slap someone because you disagree with them, or your hands that take a peace offering to be able to share in ministry together. Interestingly enough, the feet only carry you so far. It's the hands that complete the journey. So for tonight, as we've done every Monday, Thursday, for the last, I asked someone how long have we been doing this, and the guess was around 10 years or more, give or take. Tonight, we're not going to wash your feet. We're going to wash your hands. Because feet don't take you so far. It's the hands that either carry out God's goodness in this world, or they do the bidding of the other guy. The bidding of the evil one. The choice is always before us. Which do we give our heart to? And then ultimately, who rules our hands? So tonight, I'll announce it again, but we're going to gather up front for the ceremonial washing of hands. As a means by which your legs will bring you here, your feet will bring you here, or here. And then you offer your hands to start anew. As God on the cross through Jesus started us anew, so tonight, ceremonially, we're going to do that. One of the ways in which we start anew is through this table we find right here. Let me make sure I'm on script here. Yes. At this table, once again, we have the ability to use our hands effectively.
Jesus did, Seth. First off, he used his hands to invite. He invited everyone to come to the table. And I always think it's amazing that at this table, meaning the Last Supper, there was someone there who was going to betray him. Already in his heart, he walked to the table. He touched the elements Jesus touched. And even up to that moment, Jesus was still sending out the opportunity for him to turn his hands from betrayal, accepting those silver coins, and the hands that accepted God's love. At this table that we're going to share in a moment, Jesus set forth the goodness of God and God's love. He did it in two very basic elements, bread and juice, or the cup. The bread represents him willingly giving his body completely and utterly to God's will. As you heard in our scripture, he knew what was happening. He chose to go there anyway. He knew he was going to die a horrible death. He followed God's will anyway. The bread represents that we can use our body as a gift back to God, as God through Jesus used Jesus' body for us. The cup that we're going to share in a moment, the cup also represents a new covenant, a new agreement that through Jesus, God forgives our sins. So then we can carry with our feet and with our hands forgiveness to those who have offended us. This cup's made solemn by the juice, which is symbolic of the blood of Christ. Jesus invites all those who trust in him, who call him Lord, who acknowledge him as Savior, who realize that he was raised from the grave, and that he now lives forever, that he is Lord of our lives in the present. He invites all of you to come to this table and share in this meal. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He first gave thanks to God, and then he blessed and broke it. He turned to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It has been given for you." As the meal continued on, Jesus took the cup. We believe it's the cup that was intended for the Christ, or for Elijah to return. But he took that cup. He first poured. He turned to his apostles, his disciples again, and said, "This cup is a cup of the new covenant. It'll be shed in my blood, and it will be for the forgiveness of sins of many. Whoever eats of this bread," the apostle Paul said, "or drinks of this cup, you are proclaiming our Lord's death and his resurrection until he comes again." Till he comes again. Till he comes again. Till he comes again. Till he comes again.